Acts 2, reading from verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Good morning. Thank you for that reading. I know it was quite a long passage today, but I felt like we did need to read that whole thing to get the context and see what we were going to be talking about. I wonder how you feel about speaking in public. I still feel a bit nervous about it myself, I have to say. But according to the National Social Anxiety Centre, about 73% of the population feel anxious about it. And according to them, it's the most common phobia, ahead of spiders, heights, and even death, they say. I don't know whether I believe that bit. And it actually has a name. It's called glossophobia. So let's imagine that you are speaking in public, not just to a few people in a room, not just to a few hundred people in a theater, but outside, you have no sound system, and you're speaking to around 5,000 to 10,000 people. The crowd is pretty hostile, and there's some jeering and mocking going on, and you've had no time to prepare what you were going to say. This is the situation facing Peter on the day of Pentecost. And yet, he did speak, and his words were used so powerfully by God that 3,000 people turned to become followers of Jesus that day. So what made Peter ready to stand up and do this scary thing? What good news did he have to tell people? And why did his words have such an impact? What can we learn from him about sharing the good news of Jesus with other people? The disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, had burst out of the room where they were. And they were all speaking in different tongues or languages. There were people in Jerusalem from all over the known world, and each one heard them speaking in their own language. This was not calm and quiet speaking. This was noise. It was very noisy, and it drew a crowd. What was going on? Some of the crowds were making fun of the disciples, suggesting that they'd had too much to drink. And now Peter needs to decide how he reacts to this situation. This is the same Peter who, less than 2 months ago on Good Friday, was so afraid that he had denied even knowing Jesus, not to a crowd, but to a servant girl. That was Peter. But here he is now, boldly preaching to thousands. What had changed? What had made the difference? It's worth remembering that after Jesus' death and resurrection, when he appeared to his disciples, he found them in an upper room, hiding, afraid. Scripture tells us they were gathered together for fear of the crowd. But now they are all out with boldness, because Peter does the main part of this speech. He's the spokesman, but it says the 11 were with him. It wasn't just him. They were all there, out, being courageous. As he faces the crowd, Peter doesn't react to being made fun of, except to explain that these people could not possibly be drunk because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, knows that he needs to tell people about the risen Jesus. He cares more about the goodness of the news that he's got to tell than about how people see him. He cares more about Jesus and people knowing Jesus than he does about himself. He doesn't hold back from speaking the truth, even though he knows that this is going to get him in trouble. Only a couple of months before, Peter had been the one who denied Jesus and abandoned him. And yet Jesus, the risen Jesus, had reached out to him, loved him, forgiven him, restored him, and given him a new meaning and purpose in his life. Now Peter knew that he had to speak out boldly and share this good news because he had experienced it in a very real way in his own life. Peter was also acting out of obedience. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told the disciples that they were going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But first, they had to wait and receive power from on high. It would have been very easy for them to run out immediately and start being witnesses, or to plan a program for how they could do this most effectively. But they obeyed Jesus, and they waited. And while they waited, what did they do? They prayed. In fact, they all joined together constantly in prayer, as the scripture tells us. They were waiting on God, seeking God, relying on God. They knew that this was God's mission, and they had to join God in his mission, doing things in his timing and his way. And this was God's perfect timing for this speech. Jews and converts to Judaism from many different countries were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, which took place 50 days after Passover. Jesus had told the disciples they would be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And here, in this one place, God had brought people from all different countries to Jerusalem, and Peter could address them all at once. Not long after this, the disciples would indeed be sent out into all these different places, and that was through the persecution of followers of Jesus. So Peter stepped out courageously because he knew the reality of the amazing news he had to share. He was obedient to Jesus, and he wanted to be a part of God's mission in God's timing. And thirdly, he could step out to preach boldly and powerfully because he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. That was why they had to wait. They had to wait because they weren't going to be able to do this on their own. They needed God's strength by being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him, and Peter just had to obey and make himself available. He was just an ordinary person, a fisherman, not particularly educated or trained as a speaker or leader, but he was ready to obey and to be used by God. The first disciples were run-of-the-mill, ordinary people with ordinary jobs, living ordinary lives. It was their encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit that was extraordinary. God's same Spirit is available to each of us, and God calls us to be witnesses too. It's something that each of us and any of us can do, however ordinary or inadequate we might feel. We don't need any particular gifts or special qualifications. It's the good news of God's love that is extraordinary. Are we willing to be available to God to be used by him? Are we asking him to fill us with his spirit and give us the opportunities to share his love with people around us? Whatever that might look like, and it'll look a little bit different for each one of us. Maybe we worry that we won't have the right words to say, we won't be able to answer people's questions, or maybe we think that there are lots of other people out there who'd be so much better at this than we would. It's not so much about our ability as our availability to God. When we make ourselves available for God to work through us, he will open up the opportunities and he will give us the words that we need to say. For most of us, that won't be preaching to thousands of people, but it might be talking to our family, our friends, our neighbours about what a difference God has made in our own lives. And what about this good news that Peter preached? The gospel that Peter preached is that of the risen Jesus. He starts by explaining what was happening to the disciples that morning, the fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament about how the Spirit would be poured out on all people when the Messiah came. Then Peter's message turned to Jesus, his life and the miracles which confirmed that God was working in Jesus and through Jesus. His death, which was part of God's plan and purpose. It showed the evil and injustice of the world as people chose to crucify the one who was totally innocent. And his resurrection from the dead, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I love that sentence. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him, like it was trying to bind him or chain him, but it was impossible. He burst out. Then the fact that this Jesus is now exalted to the right hand of God and has poured out the Holy Spirit. And he showed them that this good news and new life was not just for them and the people there at that time then. It was for their children, and it was for all those who were far off, for all who God would call. So in fact, for you and me here today as well. And the gospel, this good news, it doesn't just impact our head. It isn't just about believing something with our head, but it affects our whole lives. In response to Peter's sermon, the people are cut to the heart, it says. Peter, in the power of the Spirit, has demonstrated to them that they've crucified the one who is the Messiah. That's the psalm that we were looking at earlier from Psalm 16, showing that David had said, this Jesus is the one that David was talking about. He's the one who didn't see death, whose body didn't decay. He came back to life again. And he chose to use these passages to explain to them, Jesus, this Jesus who you crucified, he was the Messiah. And the people had been waiting for the Messiah. They'd been hoping for the Messiah. They'd been praying for the Messiah. And in fact, those people there in Jerusalem, they felt like they were the generation when the Messiah was going to come, because the prophecies in the Old Testament in Daniel led them to think that this was the generation when God would send his Messiah and change everything. The exile would finally be ended and there would be a new age. So Peter started where people were at. He went back to the Old Testament, and we read that the long passages that he was using from the Old Testament to show that Jesus was the Messiah. We too are called to share the good news of the risen Jesus. But sometimes it's not easy for us to do that. If you were going to start talking to people here in Newbury today, we probably wouldn't start by quoting huge chunks of the Old Testament, because that wouldn't mean a lot to people here and now. If anyone's interested in thinking about some more ways that we can share the good news today and how we can know where people are at today and how we can communicate this same message, this same good news, this same gospel, but in a way that can speak into people's lives around us, then I found this book really helpful. It's called Living His Story, and it's by Hannah Steele. She was actually my tutor at St. Mellitus. So, Peter tells people that when what they need to do is repent and be baptized. They've heard this news, they've been cut to the heart, they need to repent and be baptized. Repent means change their minds, turn around, go in a different direction than they've been going in up till then. And they need to be baptized, which would be publicly declaring that they had made this change in our lives. That wouldn't be an easy thing for them to do, especially in Jerusalem at that time. They recognized, like the verses in Joel, that they needed rescuing, and they called on the Lord. And the good news for them and for us now is not only about what Jesus did, but what he offers as a result. Peter tells the people that as they turn to God, they will experience forgiveness of sins. They will no longer be defined by their past, by their guilt, by their shame. And the gift of the Spirit, they will be made new people. The good news is that God knows us and loves us. He offers us forgiveness for all the wrong and damaging things which we've done. And he has overcome death, so death no longer has the final word. Are we ready to ask God to fill us with his Spirit and to use us as a part of his mission here in Newbury or wherever we're living? Are we ready to join God in his mission? God is still at work. I've seen him doing lots of things during this time of COVID as well. A friend of mine in Reading, who's not a Christian, spoke to me a few months ago and said, Jackie, I really need to speak to you. And the first thing he started saying was, Jackie, what do you know about spiritual awakening? The whole COVID situation was making him realize that our society have cut off our connection with God and with spiritual things. And he just knew there had to be more than this physical world. There had to be more. And so I was able to share some of the good news with him and pray with him. And since then, he's been on a journey of starting to get to know Jesus. Another friend told me that her 18-year-old son, that used to come along to our kids' club at New Hope when he was little, but the family were not Christians. But he decided he was going to order a Bible from Amazon. In fact, he said, Mum, I have something to tell you. Don't be cross with me. Because he knew that she wasn't particularly religious. And so he thought maybe she'd be a bit upset that he was ordering a Bible. He ordered a Bible from Amazon. He was finding it really difficult to find peace. And he knew he needed something. Since he got that Bible, he's been reading the Bible regularly, and it has been helping him. And I was chatting to a young woman in a church here in Newbury the other day, and she told me the story of how she'd started coming to church recently. She wasn't a churchgoer at all, but during COVID, she's just been feeling so anxious that this anxiety made her feel like there must be more, and that if there was a God, then she wanted to reach out to him. Going to church and being in God's presence has really helped her. And what about us here at St. Nick's? Has God been at work among us? We haven't been able to see each other very much. We haven't been able to share stories very much. But I'm sure that God has very much been at work. And Paul and Tristan are going to come now and share just a little bit, just a few minutes, of what God's been doing through the Alpha course, which they've been involved in this last term.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, so Jackie's just asked myself and Tristan just to talk briefly about what we've been doing and how we've been involved in Alpha over the past few months. So firstly, how did I get involved in helping out with Alpha? This is the time when I'm supposed to explain how I was convicted by the Holy Spirit and how I started thinking about all the unreached people and how I wanted to evangelize. But the truth is that the main reason I got involved is because my wife, Jinsen, signed me up without my knowledge. She casually mentioned one day at dinner, oh, by the way, I've told Jackie that you might be keen in helping out with Alpha. And there was quite a few excuses crossed my mind. I thought, oh, I'm too busy, I've got young kids. There's probably plenty of other people that could do a better job than me. But I thought about it and realized that it would actually be a good opportunity for God to use a flawed and blunt instrument like me in helping to share his good news with people that don't yet know Jesus. Last week in church, we heard about the passage from Matthew 28 about the Great Commission and going, making disciples of all nations. And it's directed to each and every one of us, not just clergy, pastors, or missionaries, but everyone that's a believer. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to help out with Alpha. And I had previously helped out with an Alpha course when we lived in South Africa, but it was quite a different experience this time with it being online. Quite different and quite difficult to kind of make relationships without sharing a meal together and actually physically sitting next to each other. And I admit, on the first week, I came away quite cynical, thinking, I'm not sure this is going to work, because I think by now everybody hates Zoom calls, and you know, there just isn't that same way of building relationships and getting to know people. But then I thought, actually, by saying that, I'm kind of limiting God's power. You know, we've just had Easter and we've heard about God's resurrection and how God can forgive our sins. But I'm sure God can also work through an online Alpha course, and he has. So it's been wonderful to go through the talks and understand who Jesus is. I'm sure most of us are familiar with Alpha, but if you're not, it's a course that really introduces Jesus and who he was, why he died, and how we can have faith. And I've heard some people talk about it as a kind of Christian basics course, but I don't really like that definition, because it kind of implies that there's the gospel, then there's a bit more to it. But really, that is why we meet today. That's why we're here. Christian basics. It's about the gospel, God's forgiveness for us. And that's all there is. So if you're new to church, or you've been tuning in online out of curiosity, I definitely recommend maybe thinking about signing up for the next Alpha course. And likewise, going back to that Great Commission, it's really a wonderful opportunity to be able to kind of invite people along, neighbors, friends. I know it's often quite awkward and terrifying to kind of pop the question, would you like to come to Alpha? But, you know, you'd be surprised how God can work in people that are seeking and looking for answers. So, I think, you know, be praying. We're going to meet again for another four sessions starting this week. So please be praying that God will continue to work through it. Over to Tristan.
Thank you very much. Second that, really. What do you do when you can't play a piano or sing or play guitar like Paul? In fact, you don't like particularly public speaking. Was it glossophobia?
Glossophobia.
Yes, I feel that. So I just want to serve, and I just want to help spread the gospel message, but I'm not a natural evangelist. So what do you do? Well, Alpha is a brilliant way of getting the gospel message out by some brilliant people and really good materials, and it's been professionally done. So what we do is we help compare that. We introduce, we bring people alongside. We ask, answer questions. We ask, help them to ask questions. And we encourage them. So really, it's an encouraging format. And it's encouraged me as much as the people on it. And we've seen some, really encouraging signs that God is working through people and through Alpha. So people have not read the Bible before, want to buy a Bible, want to know more about God, want to commit to God. I won't mention their names, but they're probably watching today. So thank you to those people for coming every week. And we're going to extend it by another 4 weeks. So it's been a brilliant time, really encouraging for all of us and encouraging for the church. So I'd encourage you to encourage others to come along and sign up and maybe put yourself forward so you can help out as well. And encourage small groups, whether in Zoom or in person in the future. So thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Yeah. It has been really encouraging to see God working in people's lives. So God is at work sharing his love with people. And I'm sure there would be lots of stories here from amongst us if we were going to share those stories. But we need to be listening to him. We need to be available to him, ready to join in with the work which he's already doing, not in our strength, but strengthened and helped and guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen.